This is Pastor Ron Laney from Pleasant Grove Church. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in to us today, and I hope that this message is a great encouragement and a blessing to your life. Here is some good news from the Grove.
Yes. All right, we got a little something different this morning that's you're going to get buy one preacher, get one free this morning. So we're going to, if you'll take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 15. We're going to just kind of sit down. And as I said before, this is my dad. As you've already experienced some of his gifts and talents and abilities. And now we're just going to kind of do a little father-son thing. We've done it several times throughout the years, and it always turns out real good. Well, it does for us. We hope it does for y'all. But we just like to talk and kind of go back and forth, and just hopefully we'll be able to glean insights together. And just hear what the Lord says for us. So can we do that? Can we turn our hearts to prayer? Can we do that right now?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word. We're just going to give it our attention right now.
Yes, God.
And Holy Spirit, I pray you'd speak to us as we just kind of go back and forth. Father, we're going to just anticipate you to anoint us, to help us, to speak to us and through us, Lord. And just cause your word to come to life for us, come to life, Lord, and be our bread this morning. And we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we're in this series that we're doing over the next several weeks, and we're going to get into more detail next week, Lord willing. In Luke chapter 15, we're calling it the comeback. So this is the idea of the prodigal son story. So Jesus basically starts this thing out by saying this idea. Did I miss two verses there? Yeah, we missed the first two verses. You want to pull that up, Daddy, on your I had that all written down on my notes there.
First two verses?
Let's pull up Luke 15.
Sure.
You want to read those first two verses there?
Be honored to do so. Then drew near. I'm sorry, I got to set this where we can not move, okay? Then drew near unto him the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying.
Okay, so Jesus is, the setting's being set there with all the people gathering around. We've got different classes of people, groups of people, and it says that they're sinners and tax collectors. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about them last week. And there are the Pharisees and the scribes. That's kind of the religious crowd. They're all coming to hear Jesus, and there's this accusation that's over his life. They're accusing him of something in particular, and this is what kind of prompts the entire teaching here. They accuse Jesus of this. They say, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And Jesus says, actually, guys, I do. I do. And he's going to just talk about this whole story right here. And kind of what I want to do is just read like the first part of the story. There's kind of three parts that kind of make into a whole. We know the most famous part is the prodigal son, but Jesus kind of prefaces his remarks about the prodigal son and the father and two sons. And he starts off with this idea. The first part of the parable is this, the first part of the story. He says this. He says, what man of you? Can you see Jesus kind of pointing across the crowd? He said, which one of y'all? If you had 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And we talked about this kind of the picture of the early church. This was the picture that the early church used the most of. You go into some of the caves and the carvings and some of the sculptings, the doorways and things like that of the old churches that you find. This was the picture of Jesus. And guess who the sheep is? It's us. Now, verse number 6. And when he comes home with the sheep, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say to you likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So Jesus is replying to their accusation, saying, you kind of got me all wrong. You're looking at this whole perspective. And then he tells this first part of the story about this shepherd going after the sheep. So Dad, how does Jesus want us to see him in this first part right here?
There's a major difference between a shepherd and a hireling. You understand that your pastor's a shepherd.
Yes.
It's a good time to say amen, guys. All right. A shepherd loves his sheep. I mean, he really loves his sheep, gives his life for the sheep, sacrifices himself, his family, whatever the need is, for the sheep. We've been doing this a long time. We're both sheep lovers. Seriously, we love the family of God. And to give your life for that means that if one of those, Pastor, one of those, Ron, goes away sick, hurt, an invalid, gets lost, loses his way, which we have. See, we're not just shepherds. We're sheep too. How many knows this was my sheep?
Bah.
Uh-huh. Bah. Yeah, say that again. Because he was bad at one time.
At one time. Watch it now.
You understand that. And we all were bad at one time. Isaiah said, all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. Each one has turned to his
own way.
But the good shepherd laid up on himself the care, the love, the good for us all. And so he did. So we're bringing into this lost situation something that is loved was lost. What would you do? What'd you do? You lost something that you love. You'd go after it, wouldn't you guys? Amen? Absolutely, Pastor.
So Jesus paints this picture. He says, I'm that shepherd. I will go after. At the risk of my own life, and not just this shepherd in the story, he's going to risk his own life. Jesus is going to give his own life to save his sheep. So Jesus wants us to see him in a particular light as the shepherd who would do whatever it takes to rescue
self-sacrificing
the sheep that's lost, right? All right, so now he tells the second part right here. It's a story about a woman. He says, or what woman having 10 silver coins, and we surmise from this that it's something of great value to her. Maybe it's a family heirloom, or maybe it's some kind of valuable piece of jewelry set or something of that nature. It says, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. And likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Oh, yes, yes.
So now Jesus wants us to see him in another light. Mm-hmm. So he's the shepherd that goes after the sheep. And now he says, I'm like this woman. Okay, you want to add to that?
The beautiful part of it, God shows us the femininity, if I can say it here, the female part of the male. And he absolutely loves. I've never seen a woman who doesn't love with all of her heart. Never. I mean, we can be watching a movie. I thought it was a thriller. She's crying. Some dog died on the. You know what I'm talking about? You guys are nurturers. You love. This woman lost a coin. She searched the whole house until she found it, Pastor. She just kept searching and searching and searching till it's mine, and I found it. And she didn't just rejoice, she called her neighbors, she called her family, she called her friend. I want everybody to know that I found that which was lost. So God is telling us something about his character right here. You might run, but you can't hide. I love you. I'm going to find you. I'm going to find what's hurting you. I'm going to do everything I can to fix that. This is where he's headed in this parable.
Okay, so we got two ways. We'll expound on this a little bit more next week, Lord willing. We got two ways that Jesus shows us that you can be lost. How did that sheep get lost? Well, we said last week he got lost kind of one blade of grass at a time.
That's
he kind
right
of wandered away one from step. That shepherd. And he one mouthful of grass at a time, and next thing he knows, he's lost. This one wandered off. Now we got another thing that's lost, and it's lost in the house.
Oh, yeah.
It's lost there.
Right here.
Okay? So you got that kind of, so you can wander off. And we didn't intend on getting lost, but people that wander get lost.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
People that wander from God, from the shepherd, end up getting lost.
Yes. Yes.
But there's also a way that you can be lost right in the house.
Oh, absolutely.
Sad. Okay? All right, see the setup? Jesus has just set us up. All right? It's a setup. It's always a setup with Jesus. Did you understand that? He's always setting you up for something.
Yes.
But it's always something good. Here's the deal. Then in verse number 11, now this is where he brings both those parts together in this house with his father and two sons. And then Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of the sons said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Okay, now I'm going to maybe think you know some of this story already. If you've been in church any length of time. If not, I want you to go and read it and read it in great detail over the next several weeks. We're going to keep talking about it. All right? So we're brought to attention to this younger son. This younger son. Talk to me about the younger son.
The younger son is, well, the word prodigal, all right? We use that term for the story. It literally means wasted, that which is gone, that is lost. This younger son is ambitious. He has dreams. This didn't just start, okay? He didn't just say, Dad, hey, I won't give you my stuff. I'm out of here. It came with a desire. There was something in him that kind of gets in all of us. Can I use myself just for a second? Guys, you may not know this. I played semi-professional rock and roll music. I played lead guitar for a rock band. Hello. I was a prodigal. I did my own thing. I knew God had a call on my life, but I kept running from it. I can see this young man having ambitions. Where it started probably with an imagination, a dream, a desire to have more, to want more. Got a little flavor of this, a little flavor of that. But if I could just get away. In fact, when I'm 18, anybody ever said that before? When I'm 21, I'm out of here, Daddy. Where'd that get you? Paying your own bills.
Congratulations.
Congratulations on all of that. This is where this young man is desiring. He's not thinking about his daddy. He's not thinking about his brother. He's not thinking about his homestead. But he is thinking about some money, Pastor.
He had an idea of something he wanted to do with his life. Now, it turns out it's kind of contrary to what his father wanted. But I don't think he intended on losing everything he had. I think he intended on doubling his money.
Absolutely.
I think he intended on doing something grand with his life. I think he was like, Daddy, I can do something. You know, this farm, y'all, all this stuff and all this, these family reunions and all these gatherings and all this stuff y'all do at church, that's all holding me back. I need to do my own thing. But we said before, those that wonder end up lost. I don't think he intended, as the story begins to unfold, he liquidates the farm, his part of it, sells off some of the sheep, some of the goats, and maybe some of the oxen and some of the land, maybe some of that. He liquidated all of his stuff, what his part was, and he took it, and the scripture says right here in verse number 13, he gathered it all together. That's in the Greek, that means he liquidated the assets. He journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Mm-hmm. Now, was that his plan? What was he doing out there in that far country? Well, he's having a good time, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. And the Bible does say that there is pleasure in sin. And we know about that. But that's kind of the hook, isn't it? It's kind of the hook that gets us all, that there's pleasure. And then with that pleasure, we find out there's an addictive quality to that pleasure. But what else does that verse say? There's pleasure in sin for a
season.
Mm-hmm. But when that season's up, what happens?
Ooh, payday.
So what happens with all the fun and with all the money? What happens to the son? Well, he runs out. Oh, wow. Okay. Now, he's out in the far country, Dad. You want to talk about the far country?
Yeah, here he is in a strange place among strange people, doing strange things, things he's never done. It's something about the depths of sin that once you start giving it place, anything place in your life, you start investigating. You get a little deeper. You get a little farther away. And you don't realize how far you are from the house until you've been there. Now, have you ever had friends as long as you have money? And when you run out of money, you run out of friends. They're gone. And this young man ask his daddy for something that really didn't belong to him. Not yet, anyway. And to ask dad for his portion, literally, we discussed this, he was asking his dad, "I wish you were dead." And he really didn't say that, maybe not really meant that, but that's what the request was, to ask for your inheritance before it was your time. I remember when I left home, I was about 17 years old, and I didn't leave in a good light with my dad. I remember what that was all like. And I was doing my own thing. And my dad's word were to me, "You can go if you want to, son, but I ain't giving you nothing." And guess what? He didn't give me nothing. And it was a lesson. It was a hard lesson. I learned it the hard way, and I learned it well. And I passed that on to my boy, and he's probably heard these words before. "I told you so." Mm-hmm. "I told you. I told you." Anybody ever heard those words? "I told you." Yeah. Dad, mom, somebody trying to protect us and love us. So he's here. He's away from home. And when he loses everything he has, he loses everybody who would care for him. Pastor.
So he wasted it. All of that good reputation, all of that hard-earned money, mm-hmm. all of that integrity, and even his future.
It's gone.
He wasted it. It was gone. Daddy said something about sin. You know, the scripture says this, to resist the very appearance of evil.
That's right.
It says that. Mm-hmm. That you don't play with sin. You don't dance around with temptation. Yeah. You don't mess with the tempter. You remember, the tempter, he's the one that talked our parents out of Eden. You know, he talked them out of paradise. So he's nobody to dance with. He's nobody to play with, because he will eat our lunch. The count of human history is he will eat our lunch and win every time if we're not careful. So we resist the very appearance. And that's a hard lesson for us. We don't learn that lesson very easily. We dance on the fringes of right and wrong, and we dance with the devil, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
And he ends up taking the lead. There's an old adage, if I can remember it correctly. It says this. It says, "Sin will take you where you don't want to go, keep you where you don't, keep you longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you want to pay." Mm-hmm. Isn't that the truth for all of us? That's the truth.
It's true.
So he goes out into this far country. Now, the far country, again, was like Gentile land.
Oh, yeah.
It's a different culture. It's a different thing. He's got different experiences. He's introduced to all kinds of different worship styles and gods and lifestyles and alternative lifestyles. He's introduced to all of this in the far country. Okay? Now he wasted his possessions on all this extravagant living. But it says this, what Daddy just alluded to. When he spent all, there came a famine. So now he's not only just down on his luck. Now the economy's crashed and it's a hard day. It's a really hard time for everybody. Okay? And he began to be in want.
Big time.
And he joined himself to a pig farmer. Okay? So that lets us know a clue that this guy, he's not a friend of dad's.
Nope.
He's not another godly Jewish man. He's a Gentile. There's no doubt about it. He's a pig farmer. Okay? And he sent him in to feed the swine. He's just going to feed pigs. So if you know anything about Jewish culture, that's a no-no.
Absolutely.
I'm thankful I'm a Gentile because we get to eat bacon, you know what I'm saying? So that's a good thing. But Jews don't do that. They don't mess with that. Okay? It's in the law of Moses to refrain from that kind of thing. At least observant Jews don't do it. And now he finds himself at the pig farm, not just overseeing things. He's in there with the pigs. So now he's not only lost all his money, he's lost his heritage. Mm. He's lost any kind of convictions. Mm. He's lost his connections to right and wrong. Mm. You see, this is where sin takes you. It's taking us all down this path.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost all this, and now he wakes up with the pigs every day.
Yeah.
And it says he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and nobody gave him anything.
It's amazing that when we do wander away from God, when we wander away from family, our friends, our security, we get out on our own, we launch out to do the things that we thought we wanted to do. I love what the King's English uses. They use the word riotous living. You ever had somebody say this before? Maybe you said these words. How was last night? Hey, we had a riot. Mm-hmm. Well, he had a riot. I mean, literally. It was such a crash that he finds himself where the pastor said he is. He has absolutely lost everything, and he's about to lose his mind. He finds himself alone. He's in a famine. Have you ever found yourself in a place where it is getting worse by the day? I mean, it's getting worse and it's getting worse, and I don't know what I can do or where I can go. And the Bible says something happens to him. He comes to himself, which tells me that himself wasn't there when he was with the Gentiles. He was somewhere else. He was. But when he absolutely loses everything and he's starving to death, he's eating what man would never eat. He's doing what man would never do. I'm not a Jew, and I wouldn't want to be in a hog farm, son. I've been to a hog farm before. You ever been to a hog farm? I don't even want to smell a hog farm. I've been. But to live in it, to eat in it, to wallow in it, to be with it, to be titled that, and find yourself absolutely filthy. Well, it was his mind too. So he's lost now. He comes to himself. It's not that he snaps to. It's not that. It's that he's accounting what he lost. I'm now looking back. I'm going to let you go there in just a second. He's looking back and he's remembering what he lost. This is the love of God, not just to show us, to put us in misery, to show us what we could have. But the Savior is here trying to give us a story about what was lost and what was lost. And now we got a young man. Watch this, guys. The sheep was lost. The coin was lost. But this boy was not lost until he left. He knew where he was going. He knew what he was doing. His daddy knew where he was going. He had an idea what he would do. But it was when he left, son, that he became lost. Walking away, sometimes we can lose our way. But thank God, he came to himself. Before I turn this over to Pastor, how many remember in this building the day that you came to yourself when you found Jesus? You remember that day? Anybody? Any besides me? I remember that day. Pastor?
So he lost connection with his father. He lost connection with his brother, his family. He lost connection with the farm. He lost connection with his family's future. He lost the money. He lost his friends. He's lost his integrity. He's lost his convictions. And the most important thing he lost, he lost himself.
There you go.
He lost who he was. Uh-huh. You know what? That's what the enemy keeps pressing down so hard on our culture today, is this what we call an identity crisis. Our whole nation is going through an identity crisis, especially everybody who's 30 and younger. Oh, yeah. And what the enemy is wanting, he doesn't really want the money. He didn't really want you just wandering. He wants you to lose who you really are.
Yeah, he wants you.
That's what he's after.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he got into that place. And the day it began to turn around is the day he realized he lost himself.
Yes.
That was the day it turned around.
Amen. Amen.
He began to realize, this is not me. Now, he didn't know how to get back.
No.
Lord, once you done made a mess like that, ask me how I know about that. How in the world did you get back? Mm-hmm. It was several years ago now. Mm-hmm. Eight to be exact. 8 years ago, when I basically quit pastoring. I said, I'm not doing this no more, Lord. Thank you for the run. We had a good ride. I was going through some tough times. Ended up going through a divorce. It was awful. It was awful. And I remember that when I woke up one day and I didn't know who Ron was anymore. That's a tough day. Mm-hmm. Turns out that day lasted for seasons. Mm-hmm. And God began to speak to me. And I kind of came back to my senses. I came back to my... Now, I didn't know the way back. In fact, when God told me, I want you to be back pastoring again. It was through a whole series of events. We'll give that testimony a little bit later, maybe at the end of the series. It's kind of my prodigal story. God said this to me. He said, I want you back. And I remember looking at him. I mean, I was in prayer. I remember looking up to him and I said, I don't know how to get back. I don't know how to get back. And that's kind of where he's at. He doesn't know how to get back, but he began to come to his senses. And you know what? You know what he began to think about? He began to think about his father. He began to think about, you know, my father's a good man. Now see, we're looking at this thing from the perspective of God. Jesus wants us to see himself like this.
Yeah.
There's a scripture that says this. It's the goodness of God that draws us into repentance. It draws us back. The goodness of God is what draws us back into a right relationship with God.
Yes, yes.
Now see, I was raised, Bud and I were talking about it just a second ago. We were raised in an old Pentecostal church. Mm-hmm. And this man's preaching pretty hard sermons. We'll scare the liver out of you from time to time, you know? And you know, we often were talking, trained that, you know, the madder I got and the harder I got and the more I talked about hell, and if I just dangle them over the fire of hell just for a little while, they'll get saved. Well, that may be true, and God uses all kinds of stuff. But you know what? When a person really comes into relationship with God, it's when they realize how good he is to them.
Ooh, yes. Yes.
In spite of themselves.
Uh-huh.
And he begins to think, he said, you know what? My daddy is so good that even the folks that work for him, they got it made.
It's true.
He takes care of even the folks that work for him. Not, I'm a son. Mm-hmm. So it's the goodness of God that begins to, the goodness of his father that wakes him up. He says, you know what? I need to somehow find a way to get back to dad. Right?
Go ahead. Yes. Oh, wow. Wow. You got about an hour? I'll tell you a long story. This is my son, all right? I'm his daddy. I was there. I wasn't there, but I was there on the phone with him about every day for several times a day, praying with him. My prayer life went from zero to about 1,000, just praying for him and getting him back to understand the Father's love. As a father that loves his son, his daughter, loves my children, I have two stepboys and love them dearly. Guys, there's no greater love. I have a major question for you. I know peradventure, if it was absolutely necessary, there are some brave men and women in here, that if there was a moment, a reflection of a moment that you had to sacrifice your life to protect someone else's, you would do that. There's some brave men and women here. But I have a question for you. How many of you would give your children for anybody? Anybody? Anybody want to volunteer? You'd sacrifice your children for another human. No, you wouldn't. I would give my life for a lot of folks, a lot of circumstances and situations. But I, sometimes as a knucklehead as he can be, I wouldn't give anything for him. It's my son. Can I hear an amen out there? God so loved the world. I'm not trying to change the subject here, but enhance the subject. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That all he's asking for us to do is believe in him. This boy believed daddy was still loving. He might not take me back as a son, but see, he didn't know daddy. He wasn't a daddy yet. He didn't understand that value. But if I could go back, I'll just be a hired servant. I'll just work as a servant. He shows up back. I know Ron's going to teach you a lot about this. And there's it's so much to unpack. But when he goes back, dad does the absolute opposite of anything this boy could have even imagined. Guys, when we sing about God's goodness, when we talk about God's goodness, when you hear God's goodness preached, value that. value that because the world's not talking about how good God is. It's not. Our government's not talking about how good God is. In fact, it's not polite to say that name publicly, Jesus. It's not politically correct to use His name anymore. But I'm telling you, we serve a loving God. Amen? We serve a God who cares, who will not give up on us, who is the Father of love. And if you're lost, if you've got a lost loved one, if you've got a lost family member, a lost child, a lost grandchild, a lost friend, I promise you, Billy Sunday called him the Hound of the Holy Ghost. He is on his trail right now. And if you'll just whisper a prayer for him, God is faithful to do that. Pastor, lead us out of here.
So he's got this seed in him that he knows his Father is good. But this is what he doesn't know. His Father is better than he's ever dreamed. Mm-hmm. That's something we don't know about God. We got this idea, well, maybe he'll receive me. But this is what happens in the story that Jesus tells. Now, Jesus wants us to see him in this light now. He says, he, the boy, rose and came to his Father. And when he was still a great way off. See, Daddy's going to be good to me. I got a feeling Daddy could be good to me. But look how good he is. He finds out that his Daddy's not just good. His Daddy is love.
Yeah. And he is love.
When he was still a great way off, his Father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Yes, yes.
Now, he gets an unexpected gift here from his Father. He knew his dad was a good man, but he didn't know he loved him that much. And that's where the enemy steps. He steps right in between that right there. Because if anybody ever sees the love of God over their life, they'll come to it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what he's after. He wants to keep you from realizing that. So what this Father does, this is Jesus now. This is Jesus. He's running.
Yes, yes.
Look at his heart. We got a picture of his heart. We got a picture of his actions right here. His heart right here. He had compassion.
Yes.
Now let me ask you, did this boy deserve compassion?
Nope.
You know what he deserved? He deserved a number 12 right in the you know where.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we deserve, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But while we were yet sinners, the scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what I found out. I found out something in my life. And I found out young enough to recover. That God does love me.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I preached 15 years before I realized that. That's crazy to think about that. I told people that God loved them. But sometimes it's hard for us to experience in ourselves. You know?
It's true.
And what he found out about his Father, what Jesus wants us to see about him, if you will come walking, I'll come running.
Uh-huh. It's good. It's good.
So does Jesus receive sinners?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He receives somebody that wasted it all?
Yes.
Wasted their life, wasted their years, wasted their relationships, wasted their money, wasted their time, wasted their health. Does he receive those kind of people?
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah, we're going to fill the church up with them is what we're going
to
do.
Oh, yeah. There you go. There you go.
Because he's got compassion.
He's got
compassion. Yeah, everybody else wants you to balance the books, pay it all back, make it all right. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to make it all right. Lord, I don't know how to unscramble an egg. I can't unscramble an egg. But he had compassion. And he came running, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. We'll talk more about that later. But look at this picture of restoration. Now, he's getting ready to say this. The son's got the speech off. Father, I've sinned against heaven, and I'm not even worthy to be called your son. And I think that's an important part of the story. Because that's really where he humbles himself before his daddy. That's really important. That you find a place before Jesus to where you say, you know what?
Yes.
I don't deserve none of this. I don't deserve none of this. I don't even belong to be standing here talking to you. That's where a man changes his heart. That's where a woman meets God. And look what the Father does. See, he's good, but I don't care how good you think God is, he's always better than what you think.
Always better.
Look at what he does.
Always.
He says, but the Father said to his servants, I heard all that. That's good. I'm glad you said all that. This is what he does. Bring out the best robe. Mm-hmm. Put it on. Not just any old robe. Don't bring that old bathrobe out here. Get the good one. Get the silk one that's been sitting in there, and I've been saving that one. Get the best one. And put a ring on his hand.
Sonship.
Mm-hmm. Put it back on. Where's that other ring at? That's in the pawn shop over there in the far country.
Oh, yeah.
They cashed that one in for a good time.
It's all gone.
We'll get a new one. That's why I wear this ring. This ring symbolizes this story right there. I'll tell you about that later. That's why I wear this ring on this hand. That's my Jesus ring. Mm-hmm. Put a ring on his hand. Get him some new shoes. I notice he's barefooted. There's mud in his toes. Mm-hmm. He stinks a little bit too. Mm-hmm. And go get the fatted calf. Mm-hmm. And we're going to throw a party. Mm-hmm. Daddy, you want to talk about that restoration?
Yes. The shoes on his feet, the servants weren't given shoes. Only sons had shoes. Put shoes on him. He's my boy. He's not a servant. Belongs to me. He was about 16 years old. And I was, everything he said, I was a strong preacher. Strong. You needed a hellfire message, you call me. I can preach it. But unfortunately, I also, because I knew hell wanted my kids. Now you guys know this young man right here was very athletic and he loved baseball. You guys know that. And he played semi-pro ball. You guys probably know that, baseball. And he was very good at what he did. But I saw him being taken away. I saw him being drawn away from God. And those rules at home got tight. Anybody got rules at home? Am I the only one got rules at home? Anybody got rules at home? You got order. How many of you guys here would say, Mom and Dad had some rules too? Oh, yeah, and some real rules. In fact, a lot of your rules came from Mom and Dad. I had those rules for Ron and his sister, Amy. And I was strict with him. I was tough. His mama was a little more passive about that. Moms usually are. And I get it. But I held the toe on that. One day I came home. This young baseball player was about 16 years old, somewhere around in there. He had taken what little bag he had of his stuff, and he had left. His mom said, he's gone. I said, gone where? He said, he's gone. He ain't coming back. I said, what? He said, he's gone. So I got on the phone, and I called around. I'm going to try to be as short as I can with this. And I found out where he was. And I talked with the dad of the family of this young boy that Ron was at. And I said, can I speak with my son? He said, wait a minute, Miss Lynn. He said, I'll see if I can get him on the phone. And he came to the phone and said, hello. I said, son, I am sorry that I forgot to really let you know something. I said, but the rules are not changing. But I forgot something. I mean, I really forgot it. And in all of my trying to raise you and take care of the family and ministry, I forgot. And I promise you I'll never forget it again. I said these words to him. I love you, boy. I love you with all my heart. And I'm sorry I haven't told you that enough. The stuff's not going to change. But he probably knows there's not a time, a conversation that we have that I don't say I love you. Right, son? Always. Because the Father reminded me that no matter how tough life gets, and it gets tough, guys, if you know the Father loves you, if you know Daddy loves you. I'm not talking about just your earthly daddy, but your heavenly daddy. If you know Daddy loves you, then you really know, you should know, everything's going to be all right. And I want you to know today, it's not over, guys. It's not over. The losses in your life, the stuff that you and I have let go of or lost or seemingly put aside, it's not over. God is a good God. And his love seems to overcome all the losses of our life, does it not? And Daddy puts it back. It may not be the same stuff. It may not look the same way. But the Father's love suffices in everything that we have. I haven't lost a thing. I've gained God. And look, guys, look. I got my son preaching the gospel. It works. Prayer works. Love works. Love you kids, Pastor.
We'll close it with this. Jesus wants us to see him as the God that can put your life back together.
He can fix it. Whatever it is.
And you know what I found out? Maybe it's because of maturity or whatnot, but I found this out myself personally. The second ring wears a lot better than the first one. It wears a lot better. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not only in all the ring and the robe and all that kind of thing, mm-hmm. I found me again. Mm-hmm. You know why I found me is because I got reconnected back to him.
That's it.
So you can't find you without finding him.
No.
We're connected to him. We're made in his likeness and his image. Mm-hmm. We came from him. We can't have life and do life right without him. We can't live without his blessing.
Nope.
So that's how I found me. And then this whole theme that Jesus talks about is this lost and found idea. There's some valuables lost. A sheep, a coin, and then this part of the story is a son. The most valuable of all. A human being.
It's horrible.
Was lost. Mm-hmm. And what the story is telling us, that God has a way to take what's lost and make it found again.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
And come on, let's pray. Hi, Jesus, thank you so much for this story. There's so much here, Lord. You're so brilliant. You're so amazing.
Thank you, God.
Your teachings, Lord, just take us to the heart of who we are.
Yes.
So, Lord, I pray you'd help us. No matter where we are in this particular part of the story, Lord, if we're looking back at our story, may we be just so grateful and so thankful at how you've rescued us and redeemed us. Maybe there's others here that's in the process of being rescued.
Yes.
Maybe they're just coming to themselves. Wherever we are in the story, in our story, I pray you'd reveal yourself for who you really are. The accusation of you, Lord, was, do you really receive sinners? Do you really? Are you going to eat with these kind of people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lord, I thank you that you're willing to do
this. Yes, Lord, yes.
You're willing to embrace us back into the family.
Yes, God.
We didn't mean to wander so much, so far, so long. We certainly didn't want to get lost. But Lord, by your goodness and your grace, we can be found.
Yes, yes.
I thank you for that.